become a nightmare. Signs of the time on cardboard, on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statmiller, with you on this 18th day of September 2015. Did you know, folks, that disloyal Americans should be indefinitely detained in internment camps? Yeah. Now, it might surprise you who made that statement. Remember this guy? He's the commander of NATO, the supreme allied commander in Europe. Remember this guy, General Wesley Clark? Remember this is the guy that blew the whistle on the Pentagon? And said, yeah, in 5 years, they got seven countries they need to destroy in the Middle East. Well, for those of you who have been called paranoid or schizoid, or just plain stupid for opining that, someday an authoritarian, progressive federal government hell-bent on stifling all political opposition once and for all would round such people up and toss them into camps. Well, here's the good news. You have been vindicated. The bad news, that's exactly what they plan on doing. Although that might not really be much of a consolation. As reported by an investigative news site, The Intercept, former Supreme Allied Commander Wesley Clark, one-time Democrat candidate for president in recent days, called for revival in internment camps after those used in World War II, which disloyal Americans be placed. That's right. Wesley Clark. General. Thank you, General. Speaking to MSNBC, a correspondent for them, Thomas Roberts, following the killing of four Marines and a Navy sailor, which we put them in a camp, they were prisoners of war. Now, Clark couched his belief that internment camps should be viewed as a way to combat Islamic extremism, adding that if these people are radicalized and they don't support the United States and they're disloyal to the United States as a matter of principle, fine. It's their right and it's our right and obligation to segregate them from the normal community for the duration of the conflict. But wait a minute. The Supreme Allied Commander of NATO in Europe. Wait a minute, Mr. Clark. You have forgotten one thing. We're not in a state of war. Oh, we're not a declared one anyhow. We're just blowing the smithereens on anybody we want, and we call it we're on the hunt for terrorism. Yeah. So how does that fit in your constitutional cap, General? Well, that's right. Anymore. Well, don't use the C word around me. That's a dirty word. He did on the phrase duration of the conflict. But from that one could assume that as long as the long war against militant isn't George W. Bush and Obama have paid, said that this flight is going to be long-term. None of it indefinite. Now, The Intercept noted that Clark's comments were extremely out of character for him. After serving as NATO's Supreme Commander, he's made a name for himself in the progressive or uber-liberal policy circles. And again, here's what I'm having. See, this is how confounded and confused these people are. How the hell can you be a progressive or a socialist or a communist to the United States of America? How can you have allegiance to the constitutional law of the land? How can you be loyal to America and do your job, which uniform says it mandates you to do, that's protect the country? Well, generally, that's what armies used to do, but we found this neat, nifty little tool that we get interconnected with certain people around the planet, and we foment wars, and we fight proxy wars for other people. And don't think for a minute there's not a payoff for us in there, because there is. We're just not seeing it. We're bearing the brunt of it, the world's backlash against it. But, hey, you know, that's what you get when you gin up phony wars. I keep using that term. What should we call these? You know, they made the correction in Vietnam. They said, oh, no. This is a police action. The Vietnam War wasn't a war. It was a police action. And, oh, by the way, so was Korea. Have you heard anybody say anything about the war in Iraq? A smash in Libya? Bombing the crap out of Syria? Has anybody been calling this a police action? No. See, they superseded that. And now they just declare a war on terrorism. So whoever the United States deems as a terrorist, we don't have to act by way of Congress. Hey, president just has to make a proclamation, pick up the phone, give some orders, and here we off turning people into confetti. Human confetti. With about as much regard for the people that we're killing, I guess, as the government has for us. And when I say us, I'm just generalizing anybody USA. And, you know, I mean, when you think about this, you know, O's are important. So what's General Wesley Clark supporting? The military-industrial complex? The corporations? I don't know. But I thought every person that's elected to a public office or any person that dons a uniform plays by a rule book called the Constitution. But evidently, that's not the case anymore. So by that definition, we have a rogue government. We don't have law. Oh, we have what they say is law, but under closer scrutiny, oh, there you go again. Now you're talking like one of them sovereigns that you believe in states' rights and limited federal government and decrying the fact of all the unconstitutional things that have been done to, oh, I'm sorry, for the American people. Yeah, you're just one of those radicals. How can you be a progressive or an uber liberal and don a uniform for the United States and not at least be in the port of its constitution? It's law. You know, I was looking at the Republican Party, and I'm just thinking, you know, what if Bernie Sanders does get elected president? How would the oath look that he takes? Would he do an Obama, screw it up, and let's go hide in the basement out of public view? Let me swear my oath there. How would Bernie Sanders affirm the oath of office? He couldn't. Ergo, he could never take office. Or at least, that's the flavor of this country. Let me get the idea. In 2004, his campaign, the Democratic presidential nomination, was highly critical of the Bush administration's excessive response to the 9/11 terror attacks. Since then, he's been a critic of policies that violate the Geneva Convention. Well, let me digress here again for a second. How could Geneva Convention, that's the rule book for wars, if these are not wars? If they are not sanctioned by the United States Congress, they are not wars. So I'm a little confused as to Geneva Convention stuff, because it wouldn't apply. You know, there are certain set standards and certain applications for things. In other words, you got this big header, and under that subheader, you've got these little things that you got to follow in order to get to the bottom line and go, oh, that's right, that fits. This doesn't fit. It's an eternal state of war against anybody that they want to deem that they don't like. And call them a terrorism, I don't know, call them sycophants, call them conspiracy theorists, oh, call them sovereigns, call them whatever you want to call them. Did you ever think, folks, you would be living in America where you believe in states' rights, the limited government, the Constitution, and you would be called an enemy of the state?